Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of GTI Insights, the Global Taiwan Institute's policy podcast. My name is Marshall Reed, and I'm a program manager here with GTI.
And I'm Zoe Weaver-Lee, a program assistant at GTI.
And today we're so thrilled to be joined by Dr. Marcin Przychodniak, an analyst with the Asia and the Pacific program at the Polish Institute of International Affairs. At PISM, he conducts really interesting research on China's foreign and domestic policy, as well as broader issues in the Indo-Pacific. A former diplomat, Marcin spent 2012 through 2016 working at the Polish embassy in Beijing, where he worked in the political section. Marcin, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me, and hello to everyone.
Well, we're very excited to have you here to discuss the Polish approach to both China and Taiwan. In 2016, Polish President Andrzej Duda announced that he had hoped that Poland could become China's, quote, gateway to Europe. At the same time, he signed a long gestating declaration on the establishment of a comprehensive strategic partnership between the two nations, ostensibly ushering in a new era of Poland-China cooperation. In the years since, however, the relationship between the two has, shall we say, had its ups and downs, as a high-profile espionage scandal in 2019 effectively offset many of the diplomatic and economic gains. At the same time, Poland's ties with Taiwan have expanded moderately, particularly during the COVID-19 pandemic. With all this in mind, we're so glad to have you here to discuss these really fascinating relationships and shed some light on Poland's thinking as it approaches both China and Taiwan. So, just to get started, I'd like to set the stage a bit. I think Poland occupies a really interesting place in between Western Europe and Eastern Europe and takes a really interesting approach to both China and Taiwan. I'd be interested to hear, you know, could you give a brief overview of Poland's relationship with the two and, you know, how these relationships evolved over time?
Sure. I can. But I would not call it a unique. I would rather say that Poland is trying to find a balanced position because of many different factors. But it's not that unique if you compare it to the other central states. And I will probably get more deeper into that. And it's certainly it hasn't been unique in over this last couple of years since you mentioned 2012, and then but between Poland and China was actually 2011 when the strategic partnership started, and then the relations went for a really crazy period in terms of the political exchanges and high level meetings, high level visits between Warsaw and Beijing, and Chairman Xi Jinping coming to Poland. So a lot of happened in terms of political exchanges, in terms of statements, in terms of declarations of cooperation. But not much happened in terms of any kind of substantial results, substantial benefits for Poland, which was very much hoped by the Polish authorities when this cooperation started many years ago and started and strengthened, actually. Started a new period in 2011, 2012, and so on. So I think Poland was part of the greater picture in Central Europe, the states trying to use this new opportunity when you have China coming to the Central Europe and, providing and giving some examples how China is now interested in the relations and in the countries of Central Europe. There has been many reasons behind that. I will probably not go into that right now. But, there was this period after this huge enlargement of European Union in 2004, and then this whole financial crisis when China got stronger and Europe weaker. There was this many different factors behind China's growing interest in Central Europe and the establishment of this whole initiative, which was originally 16 plus 1, then became 17 plus 1. Right now is actually 14 plus 1. It just showed how China became interested in the region. Poland was also part of this interest in terms of, one thing, hoping that it can get some economic benefits from China, and second one, it was part of a way to show the Western Europe that Poland is also capable of having its own dialogues, its own cooperation, its own exchange of ideas with China, and not contrary to the European Union's one, but as its own way of having dialogues, just like Germany had, France had, Italy had before and until Brexit, of course, United Kingdom also. So that was part of the picture then, and it was quite shared by many Central European states, especially all the EU member states, which were also members or participants of this whole China CEE initiative, which started in 2012. Like, it was very much similar for Czech Republic, for Baltic states, for Romania, for Bulgaria, hopes for economic benefits, you know, and the way how, and in a way to actually elaborate a little bit its own political position in Europe by showing that these countries also have, can have a mutual cooperation and exchange of ideas, political exchanges with China directly. So that was it. But, you know, this whole situation changed, of course, and a lack of these economic benefits, you know, speaking specifically about Poland, I mean, lack of these economic benefits through time, the more aggressive policy, China's policy, not maybe, maybe not towards Poland, but in general towards the EU, towards the rival with the US, you know, the changing international dynamics, especially after Xi Jinping took power in 2013. And then year after year, the situation changed and lack of these benefits, it kind of made Poland pessimistic about growing relations with China, which was, and it reached its highest point, I think, circa about 2017, 2018. But of course, it didn't mean that Poland would like to follow, for example, Lithuanian path, which was also very much first part of this 17-16+1 initiative. But then, as we all know, last year decided to exit and very much was in the avant-garde of European negative opinions on relations with China. So no, Poland tried to keep it balanced, but in a way did not find it China's relations with China as a priority. It was always important, but not the most important thing for Poland's foreign policy. And that also connects to somehow to Taiwan, where, of course, Poland tried to keep its one China policy by the way of course, diplomatically recognizing People's Republic of China, but keeping the relations with Taiwan on the economy, cultural levels, right? So there is still, first it was a Warsaw office, it changed its name to Polish office in Taipei, I think 2 or 3 years ago. And of course, this a similar representation of Taiwan in Warsaw. There is, of course, an economic dialogue happening every year, if I'm correct, between the ministries from Polish side. I think right now it's a Ministry of Development and Technology. So that kind of steady, similar to others, relations with Taiwan, and on the other hand, keeping the relations with China, also not as a priority, but from the Polish perspective, Poland's perspective, but as most important ones. And that kind of thinking was until February this year, I suppose. I mean, of course, Russian invasion on Ukraine. And as long as we are still in the process, but we don't know how it ends, and we don't know when it will end and what will results will be. The Russian invasion, and especially how China reacted, which I mean how China supported Russia, at least politically, in its invasion and its policy towards Ukraine, but also towards NATO, towards the role of the US globally, that very much influenced Poland's position towards People's Republic of China. Poland decided to keep its presence and to keep the channels of communication which we have. You could have observed there was an intergovernmental committee happening last year and the end of last year and the beginning of this year with political communication between ministers of foreign affairs. And there was, of course, a visit of President Duda to Beijing last year for the Olympics, but also there was also quite recently there was a call, telephone call between President Duda and Chairman Xi Jinping. But all these exchanges are kept not to make any kind of demonstrations in a way of political gestures showing that its disapproval towards the Chinese and their policy towards Russia. But these are mainly channels to transfer to the Chinese the Poland's way of thinking about how the policy should be done, and especially in the context of Ukraine. So they are treated as a way of sending messages to the Chinese, not the actual way to fulfill any political, any economic interest. And this is rather to keep the channels open, but not with high hopes of any kind of change. So this is primarily it. And that also changed a bit how Poland looks at Taiwan right now. But it is not a dramatic change. It's definitely not the way how it happened in the Baltic states, for example, or Czech Republic. But there is a positive attitude, especially when you have a really high appreciation for Taiwan, for its help towards Ukraine, and also towards Poland for accommodation for Ukrainian refugees here. So that has been observed, and that has been very positively. But in general, the policy hasn't changed in a way of if you expected Poland to behave similar to Baltic states or probably in future, in the nearest future, Czech Republic, in terms of its, you know, changing the priorities, political priorities, I would not expect Poland to do that.
Well, thank you so much for providing such a comprehensive overview for us. And you've actually touched on quite a few topics that we'd like to dive in a bit deeper to. Especially, I love that you brought up recently that although, you know, the overall policy hasn't changed, you know, Poland's relationship with Taiwan has been, you know, able to develop in recent years a bit more. So, I mean, in April of this year, Taiwanese and Polish legislators formed the Taiwan-Poland Interparliamentary Amity Association, helping to institutionalize a partnership which has grown a lot since the start of the pandemic. So how would you characterize the relationship between Poland and Taiwan? And over the last several years, other CEE states have made news for establishing stronger ties. So have these outreach efforts had any impact on Poland's strategic thinking about Taiwan?
Well, I think it had, but it would be very hard for me to point out any specific examples. I mean, this idea and the change of a situation and this, especially, you know, right now when you have the very high dynamics of this situation in the Taiwanese Strait, because of Chinese actions after Representative Pelosi visit. So definitely there's a lot of thinking in Poland and especially in government about how to react and how to conduct the relations with Taiwan in the future and with China also. But there are no exact examples on that. I mean, Poland is keeping its one China policy in terms of understanding, as I said, Taiwan as a sovereign state, but not, you know, diplomatically recognizing it. So keeping the relations, but still looking at Beijing as a main partner here. But this is a general overall policy. But if you there are some gestures, of course, I mentioned the assistance from Taiwan. It was very well received in Poland, and it was also was an example of cooperation, right? An exchange of information, exchange of contacts between Taiwanese officials and local officials from Poland also. There was quite recently signed the Criminal Justice Cooperation Agreement between Poland and Taiwan. I mentioned the economic consultations, and then it just happened, I think, a couple months ago. So it was timing was also quite interesting in you know, because it happened not right after the Russian invasion, but certainly not very far from February, and in the whole dynamics in the Pacific going on, and that was quite interesting to see, but the timing of his consultations. But Taiwanese Minister of Foreign Affairs, when he visited Europe, I think last year, he had a tour, right, in Europe. He published an article in one of the Polish newspapers about relations between Taiwan and Poland, and whether it was not. Probably it wasn't publicly announced. There is a quite high probability that he also had exchanges with some of the officials The cooperation between Taiwan and Poland is growing, and I would actually say that, but still in this margins of trying to avoid any gestures or actions or decisions which can actually convince Beijing to react in harsh responses, as we can see towards US. But it is different story with the US, of course, but as we did see towards Czech Republic, I think last year when the Speaker of Czech Parliament visited Taiwan too. So this is generally the description of Poland-Taiwan relations.
Well, that's great. I'd like to step back to something that you brought up just a minute ago and talk about the recent events in Eastern Europe. I think we'd be remiss if we didn't address the impacts of the ongoing Russian invasion of Ukraine. Since the start of the war, Poland has taken in far more Ukrainian refugees than any other European nation and has accordingly put a significant strain on its own infrastructure. I'd be interested to hear, from a Polish perspective, has the war had any effect on Poland's approach to foreign policy? And more specifically, how has it influenced Warsaw's policies towards both China and Taiwan?
I think dramatically. We may not see it now, not yet, but definitely in terms of thinking, it very much influenced the Polish position. It was before the war. I want to just say also about how Poland looked at what Lithuania did with its decision to open the Taiwanese office in Lithuania and everything which happened after, and Chinese reaction and Chinese sanctions and so on. And then there was also a visit of Minister Rao, Poland's Minister of Foreign Affairs, to Lithuania, where he explicitly said that although Poland has its own one China policy, it very much is against what China did towards Lithuania and these sanctions and decisions. So this is a way of kind of trying to balance the policy in statements, but actually it's probably very much following the general trend in Central Europe. But going back to Ukraine, yes, I said dramatically, and you could see it also in terms of facts. I mean, quite recently, and actions, not only statements, quite recently there was this, you know, China seeing how much its policy towards Russia influenced the attitude of Central European states towards China. I mean, negatively influenced. They sent out a delegation to Europe, to Central Europe, of a former Chinese ambassador to Prague and a special representative to the relations with Central Europe, Huo Yinzhen, from the Chinese MFA. And then she had a tour among the Central European states, and she was welcomed and received by different levels in different ministries in all around Central Europe, but she was not received in Poland by anybody from the MFA, not even a very working level. I mean, it was rejected to actually see her, meet her, and exchange opinions with her. And so it was a gesture, I think, that showing that the very high disapproval of Chinese policy towards Russia and the Chinese, and especially Chinese policy towards the invasion on Ukraine, lack of any kind of condemnation, at least. So that was an important gesture. As I mentioned, there was the official exchange between ministers during the intergovernmental committee between Poland and China. But all these exchanges and the telephone call between Duda and Xi Jinping, all these exchanges are rather used as an opportunity to again pressure, if Poland can actually pressure, that's probably a topic for another discussion. But anyhow, a kind of a pressure towards China to at least reconsider its position with Ukraine in the back. If I was supposed to pick up one topic which is extremely important, I think it's Ukraine, which actually keeps its high-level contacts with the Chinese right now. So this is dramatic, I think, change. Yeah, of course, economic cooperation is also mentioned in the statements, but I think it's part of a routine, a political routine, to actually mention it every time, to keep the topics open. But most important is still Ukraine, and I don't see anything more important here. The attitude towards 17, right now 14 plus one, this initiative which, you know, the Estonia and Latvia has just decided to leave, and Lithuania did it a year ago. And Poland, yes, Poland mentions that it stays and wants to have to be part of it still. But again, I find it as an opportunity to just send a message, to pressure Chinese, to use it as an opportunity to discuss important topics. And one of the most important topic for Poland right now is, of course, the future of Ukraine and the future of the Russian invasion on Ukraine. But also very more general looking, I mean, the future of the rule-based order, international rule-based order, which is, of course, part of the Poland's success in the recent many years since the end of the Cold War. So these are probably the most important issues.
Well, those are all great points, and it actually leads us quite nicely into our concluding section here, because we would love to know your thoughts on, you know, looking forward, how do you foresee Poland's approach to China and Taiwan evolving in the coming months and years, especially given, you know, the developments that you just commented on? And for Taiwan specifically, are there any particular areas where Poland and Taiwan can collaborate?
Yes, I think what we can see, I mean, it depends very much of course, international dynamics and whether we will experience any kind of change in the situation in Ukraine, but also in the Pacific. But I think there's one thing that can actually dramatically change Poland's attitude towards People's Republic of China. And this is the actual evidence or facts of that China is actually actively supporting Russia in Ukraine, and that would probably be a red line for Poland in terms of its even in terms of its presence in these initiatives and its policy towards China. But this is just probability from my point of view. In general, I think we will not see a dramatic change in a way that Poland still and keeps and views China-Russia cooperation as the one threat from authoritarian states toward democracies. And however it may sound very general and very, you know, not practical, but still it is a important way to also keep its focus on not only on Ukraine, but also in the Pacific. So that will still influence its relations with China and Taiwan. Taiwan specifically, of course, but mainly through its European Union membership, right? Through Poland's European Union's membership, you know, that Taiwan is very important. The cooperation with Taiwan is very important for the EU. And that probably should be and will probably be supported by Poland in the EU as a way, you know, EU needs to find its own voice in the Pacific as a supporter for Taiwan to keep its legitimacy and to keep its position in front of the Chinese threat towards Taiwan. And Taiwan is very important for, of course, for the success of many EU's economic plans. For example, the CHIPS Act and cooperation on semiconductors is, of course, very important. It's very, it might sound very obvious, but for the EU, there won't be any success of its economic plans concerning semiconductors without cooperation with Taiwan. And that requires a strong support for Taiwan and its sovereignty, simply speaking, in the Pacific, not following the Chinese propaganda and dangerous dynamics in the Taiwanese Strait. So that was probably also, the EU will be, it is an important instrument in Poland's foreign policy. But of course, Russia and Ukraine remains a priority here. So no dramatic change in terms of its relations with People's Republic of China. Nothing which will be viewed as Poland's supporting, strengthening its relations with China, but keeping a balanced position and trying to send a message to the Chinese through existing channels on Poland's and on the Western, on the EU's position on Russian invasion in Ukraine and Indo-Pacific too.
Well, Marcin, thank you so much for providing so much detail and so much context to these really interesting relationships between Poland and China and Poland and Taiwan. I think it's clear that, like a lot of other countries in Europe and around the world, Warsaw tries to walk a fairly difficult line between China and Taiwan and really balance those two interests. And that's not an easy thing to do. But I'd be interested to take a step back and look at this from a bit of a broader geopolitical perspective. Obviously, Poland is far, far away from the Taiwan Strait, from East Asia. Just to hear from your perspective in Poland, you know, how much do matters in East Asia on cross-strait issues really factor into Warsaw's approach to foreign policy at all? You know, is this a priority, or is this something that's really of secondary concern compared to, say, the affairs in Ukraine and matters in Eastern Europe more broadly?
And listeners have to remember that China has never been a priority in terms of Poland's foreign policy. And it's not very much in the debate, too. So, of course, this interest is growing within, you know, different circles, you know, governmental think tanks, media and some, but academia. But still, it's not something that is very much discussed in terms of the present challenges. Or it is Russia, and it is NATO Eastern flank, and all these issues. And of course, they are connected, but only to some extent. So Poland's policy towards China is very much constructed through its importance and influence over the situation in Central Europe. So that it's very much important to know and remember. And that if you expect Poland to have a comprehensive and far-reaching policies towards Indo-Pacific and all these challenges there, you probably overestimate Poland's abilities and especially Poland's interests there.
Well, Marcin, I think that's a great place to bring us to a stop. I think you've done a great job, as I said earlier, of really fleshing out these relationships between Poland and China and Poland and Taiwan, and really bringing to the surface what's important here and where this really fits into Poland's broader geopolitical priorities. So, Marcin, thank you again for joining us today.
Thank you very much.
And thank you to all our listeners for joining us for another episode of GTI Insights. Many thanks also to the great staff, interns, and fellows at GTI for all their help with every step of producing this podcast. If you're interested in learning more about GTI, be sure to check out our website at globaltaiwan.org, where you can find information about our Global Taiwan Brief, our frequent public seminars, and our other podcasts. You can also listen to more episodes of GTI Insights on Spotify, Google Podcasts, and wherever else you get your podcasts. Until next time, this has been GTI Insights.